It's you that I see. It's you that I see. Sing it out. Say.
Beloved, you are about to listen to a message from Reverend Prince Lai. Reverend Prince Lai is the head pastor of Rescue World Chapel International and the lead evangelist of Christ the Healer Gospel Campaign. He has a dynamic teaching and healing ministry with miracles, signs and wonders that has affected and transformed many lives. And now, the voice of rescue.
There is power.
Clap your two hands together for Jesus. Oh, come on, do it better, do it better, do it better. Slap those two hands together for the Lord. I want you to turn to the left and right and welcome someone by you. Give the person a smile and tell the person you are welcome to the house of the Lord. God richly bless you. Amen. Shall we be seated? Shall we be seated? Amen. Please give us one more fan here and one here. Amen. Hallelujah. Bright, do that. You know what to do. Amen. Praise God. Make sure my mic is at the level I put 10. And let me try it. Amen. Hallelujah. We are in a new month. Amen. We are in a new month. And we are looking at Holy Spirit in this month of June. Holy Spirit in this month of June. We are looking at the Holy Spirit. Clap your two hands for Jesus. Ask the one by you, do you know anything about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit currently is the most important personality of God on earth. The most important personality of God. The most important person God has left us with is His Spirit. Very, very important person. You can't joke with the Holy Spirit in our days and amount to anything in our times. Hallelujah. He is the personality of God. You can't joke with Him and amount to anything. So I'm speaking to you tonight. And in the course of the month, we'll be speaking about different things. But for tonight, we are speaking about Holy Spirit empowerment. Empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Tell somebody you shall be empowered. Oh, I can't hear you. Tell someone you shall be empowered. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Hallelujah. You shall be empowered when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Say, you shall be empowered when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Hallelujah. Amen. So, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, quickly. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. If it's in the then we rise to pray. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive, Acts 1 verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Samaria, and the ends of the earth. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Amen. So the Bible says that when the Holy Spirit, who is God, comes upon us, we shall receive power. That means we shall be empowered. It is one of the works of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You see, when you have the Holy Spirit, He does many things for you. One of the things He does for you is that He gets you to be born again. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts you for you to be born again. For you to be saved. It's the Holy Spirit that seals your redemption. It's the Holy Spirit that teaches you. He teaches you. It's the Holy Spirit that guides you. He shows you where to go, where not to go. He guides you. So we have many, many blessings of the Holy Spirit. He comforts you and then all that, which I'm sure in the course of the month we will learn into. But tonight we are talking about one of his assignments in our life, which is the empowerment of the Spirit, that he will empower us. I pray that may the Spirit of God empower you in the name of Jesus. That throughout this month, you will not be without power, but you shall contact raw power in Jesus' name. Lift up your hand and say, Father, throughout this month, may I encounter raw power in the name of Jesus. Say, Father, throughout this season, connect me to power. Connect me to power so that my life should transform in the name of the Lord Jesus. Clap your two hands together. If you are the one I'm talking to, clap your two hands together. Oh, are you clapping? I can't hear your clap offering. Amen. So the empowerment of the Spirit, that when the Holy Spirit comes, he empowers us. He equips us. He emboldens us. So what is this power for? When the Holy Spirit comes, he empowers you. What is this power for? And even before that, you see that in Luke 24, verse 49, the Bible tells us something, Luke 24, 49. Look at Luke 24, verse 49. Luke 24, verse 49. Luke 24, verse 49. Amen. We are there, one go. It said, behold, I'm reading with you, one go. It said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. So you see that the Holy Spirit is the promise of God to us. Tell someone by you, the Holy Spirit is the promise of God unto us. It's the promise of God unto us. And you see, I love how the Bible puts it in the book of Acts when Peter was teaching. When Peter was teaching the book of Acts, Peter told the people, when they were hearing them speaking in tongues, and they were confused, that, what are these people? And they were confused, these people are Galileans. How come they are speaking in our language? How come they are speaking in our own tongue, in our own dialect? And the Bible says that they were intrigued, and they were marveled, and they were surprised, because they could hear them speak in their own languages, even though they are Jews. Amen. Are you following me? Then the Bible says that when Peter rose up in the company of the 12 and started to address the people, he told them, this is the promise that God gave. Then he told them, and then the people asked him, what should we do that we will also be saved? Then he told them that you must repent and receive this free gift from the Father. Give me Acts chapter 2. Locate the scripture. Peter told them, they asked, men and brethren, what should we do? And then Peter told them that you should repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, and you shall receive this gift from the Father. Amen. Oh, amen. Are you there? Acts chapter 2. Be very fast, please. And you shall receive this free gift from the Father. Verse 35. And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and rejoiced, and said to Peter and the rest, what should we do? Go to the next. And Peter said to them, repent and change your ways. Turn from your sinful ways. Accept and follow Jesus the Messiah, and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus, because of the forgiveness of your... And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Why did he say that? Verse 39. Why did he say that? Verse 39. For the promise... Everybody say promise. Oh, come on. You are not. Say promise. Say the Holy Spirit is the promise of God for us. The Holy Spirit is the promise of God for us. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as our Lord God will call. And so Peter was telling them that this Holy Spirit, like Jesus had told them, is the promise of God for us. It's the promise that God has given to Abraham that his seed were going to get. is the promise that is going to connect us to the sevenfold blessings of Abraham. That's the Holy Spirit. Without we receiving the Holy Spirit, we cannot receive the blessings of Abraham, because they come through the Holy Spirit. If Galatians 3:13 tells us that we have been redeemed from the curse of the law, blah, 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 and then verse 14 says that we may receive the blessings or the promise of the blessings. That promise is talking about is first and foremost the Holy Spirit. Go to Galatians 3:14. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Say the promise of the Spirit. I can't hear you. Say the promise of the Spirit. Say the promise of the Spirit is the blessing of Abraham. Because most of the times when we talk about the blessing of the Spirit, what comes into our mind is money. That's what mostly we talk about, isn't it? So the sevenfold blessings of God. First, they are all packaged in the Holy Spirit. Over here, he narrowed it down. Paul told us what the blessings of Abraham coming upon the Gentiles, what he meant by that. And what he meant by that is that they might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So the Gentiles are going to receive the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues and be empowered through their faith in Jesus. That is why when Peter went to Cornelius' house, he was a Gentile in Acts chapter 10. Bible says that as he was preaching, the Holy Spirit fell upon all of them that heard the word, and they started speaking in tongues. And Peter told his brethren after he left, they said that this is what happened. This is the promise of God. May you receive the Holy Spirit empowerment. You didn't hear me. May you receive the Holy Spirit empowerment. Christianity without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit will make the devil have a field day in your life. It will make the devil have a chance to trouble you, to disturb your life, to destroy your future, to destroy your home, to scatter your plans, to interrupt God's agenda for your life. Christianity without the Holy Spirit will make you vulnerable. Lift up and say, I will not be vulnerable. Say, I carry power. Say, I carry the power of the Holy Spirit. I will not be weak. Say, my enemies will not defeat me. I'm a winner in the name of Jesus. Without the Holy Spirit empowerment, you become a victim. May you not become a victim. Tell the one by you, may you not become a victim. May you not become a victim of Satan. May you not become a victim. May you not suffer the plans of Satan against your life. Clap your two hands together. Come on, do it better. So, when God empowers us, what does he empower us for? Number one. What does he empower us for? Number one. Write it down. To be effective witnesses of Jesus, the first empowerment we receive by the Spirit is effectiveness in witnessing. That we'll be able to share our faith. That we'll be able to speak to people about Jesus. That we'll be able to share the gospel to others. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Sharing of your faith without the Holy Spirit will not lead anyone to Christ. In fact, it will be boring. It will be hard. It will be discouraging. When you are sharing your faith without the power of the Holy Spirit, say, oh, can you hear me? Say, oh, you can hear me. Say, oh, you can hear me. Say, oh, you can empowerment. You don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, you are likely not to win anybody. It's like using a knife that is not sharpened. It's like using a knife to cut that is not sharpened, to fell a tree that you have not sharpened it. That is how trying to share your faith without the power of the Holy Spirit will be like. It will be characterized with frustration. It will be characterized with shame. It will be characterized with embarrassment. It will be characterized with difficulty. You will be talking and talking and talking. There's no life in what you are saying. There's no power in what you are saying. People don't get blessed. People are not changed. They don't follow you. You don't win any soul. But I pray that may God make you an effective witness of the gospel. Let your amen be a tenderous one. May God make you an effective witness of the gospel. May your gospel be sharp. May your gospel be quick. May your gospel be cutting double edge. In the name of the Lord Jesus, may your words transform people. May your words change people. May your invitation never be turned down. When you call people to follow you to Jesus, may they follow you with all acceptance. May they follow you with all willingness. May they follow you. May your words change your friends, change your enemies, change people around you. Can I hear your loudest amen if you are here? Clap your two hands together. Come on, clap your two hands together. To be effective witnesses of Jesus. To be effective witnesses of Jesus. To be effective witnesses. That is what Jesus told them. Acts 1 verse 8. Acts 1 verse 8. He told them that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and the ends of the earth. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, first and foremost, you are empowered to speak the gospel. You see, that is why people who are not encouraged to speak the gospel, people who are not witnessing, people who are not winning souls, people who are not inviting others to church, others to find Jesus in church, people who are not inviting others to cry, it is a witness that they are not empowered by the Spirit. It's a witness that they don't have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. It's a witness against them that they are not walking in the Holy Spirit. They are not full of the Holy Spirit. They are short of the Holy Spirit. That is why when you are full of the Holy Spirit, you go about sharing the gospel. But when you are less of the Holy Spirit, you don't feel encouraged. You don't feel enthused. You don't feel propelled. You don't feel encouraged. You don't feel the enthusiasm. You don't have the zeal. You find it difficult to share your faith on the bus. You find it difficult to share your faith in your neighborhood. You find it difficult to follow up on souls. You find it difficult to establish people, because the diagnosis is that you have been short of the Holy Spirit. May you be empowered. Oh, I said, may you be empowered. Oh, may you be empowered. Wave your hands, say, I receive empowerment. I receive empowerment of the Holy Spirit. I receive empowerment of the Spirit of God. I receive empowerment of the Holy Spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus. Clap your two hands together if you understand what I'm saying. Number two, when you receive the Holy Spirit, or when we say you are empowered by the Holy Spirit, what is it for? It is to do the work of God here on earth. It is to do the general work of God. To do the general work, singing is the work of God. Playing instrument is the work of God. Being a leader in the church is the work of God. Cleaning the church is the work of God. What is the work of God? Any work you do for the advancement of the kingdom of God. It may not be necessarily preaching. We are focused on preaching. But the other aspects of the word of God, or the work of God, is also made effective by the empowerment of the Spirit. That means that if you see someone who is very active in the church, it is likely that he's empowered by the Spirit. That is why when people start backsliding, when people are disconnected from the flow of the Spirit, one of the easy things you will discover is that they start withdrawing themselves from church activities. Hello? Ask the one by you, is it true? Is it true? How do you feel? Do you feel like coming to church when you are disconnected? Do you feel like joining the rehearsals when you are disconnected? Do you feel like coming to labor, cleaning, and doing other work, or media work, or instrumentalist work? Or you don't feel like coming when you are disconnected in your secret closet, like a pastor or a preacher? You will not feel like coming when you are disconnected. As a shepherd, you will not feel like doing the work. When you are disconnected as a cleaner, you will not even have any joy in the church. So you will not feel like coming, because the issue is that you are disconnected from the source of the Spirit, from the flow of the Spirit. Anyone here disconnected, may you be reconnected. Come on, your amen can be louder. In this month of June, may you be reconnected to God. Nyame unconnected to the Holy Spirit, so that the assignment you carry in the church will be restored and will be revived. Clap your two hands together for the Lord. So I can tell your connection by your service. Will you allow me? Can you allow me to say that? I can tell, all things being equal. I know some people can pretend. Do you know some people can pretend? When they are falling, seriously falling, and they are disconnected, yet when you see them in church, I know we have those kind of people. But that one, it takes some level of pretense to be able to balance spirituality with carnality at the same time. Such people, God destroy them quickly. So don't find yourself in that group. Tell someone, don't find yourself in that group. Say, Uyobia, Ushefie Dibone, Isudua Sorinswa, Wahunke Kamosro, Eti Yentimi, who say, Akwanwa Shias Yehu, because Ubana Famaika, Kitty Kitty, everybody thinks they want bomb 4 hours and Zahoba. But you just can't, you pick up, or Charlie, you are working, you are arranging chairs, you are doing everything. You say, oh, Charlie, this guy is on fire. You see, it takes some level of backsliding. And that level, I don't pray for anybody. Because if you get to that level, you will hardly change. It will be difficult for you to change, so you will be destroyed. Yeah, because it's like you are now used to the presence of God and used to sin. Like, you know how to switch. You are like a disco light. You can switch from blue to red as and when you are needed. Hallelujah. Ask the woman, are you a disco light? Can you switch? When you enter, you switch to what? Spirit mode. Spirit mode. You switch to spirit mode. Then when we close church and we share the grace and you get home, then you switch toward blue. From red to blue. You switch to coldness mode. And so it's like you fit perfectly in every environment we put you. And we have people like that. But you see, real people, genuine people cannot live that life. When they are down, you know they are down. When they are up, you can easily see they are up. And that's what Jesus said. I wish that you were either hot or cold. That you were either down. Because when I know my son is down, I can bring him up. But when I don't know my son is down, you will be down till you die. So Jesus said that I hate people like that who are lukewarm. Who are lukewarm. But I wish that you will let me know that you are cold, that I may do something about it. And I wish that you will be hot, so that I will know that you are there. But this disco life. Amen. So you can easily tell Christians that are in touch with the Spirit, whose spiritual lives are doing what? They read their Bible, they pray, they fast on their own, they are meditating, they have a relationship with God, they are being filled with the Spirit on a daily basis. You can tell by looking at their outward fruits. Because by their fruits, you can see, unless of course they are pretenders. Clap your two hands for Jesus. Amen. Am I teaching? Acts chapter 10 verse 38. The Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So Jesus was carrying out his assignment, was doing his work, healing the sick, raising the dead, doing miracles. Why? Because he was empowered by the Spirit of God. He was empowered. So you can also carry out any work of God, whether you are a dancer, you are a singer, whether you are a teacher, whether you are a Sunday school teacher, whether you are a cell leader, any work at all, you are an instrumentalist, you can do it effectively. You can do it with the Spirit if you are empowered by the Lord. May the power of the Lord rest upon you. Barakatu shaka. May the power of the Lord rest upon you. May the Holy Spirit power rest upon you. Hallelujah. Clap your two hands. Celebrate the Lord. Celebrate the Lord. Number three, to fulfill the specific destiny of God for your life. To fulfill the specific destiny of God for your life. What is the power for? The power or the empowerment of the Holy Spirit is for destiny fulfillment. For destiny fulfillment. What is your destiny? What were you born to fulfill? What were you born to achieve? For Joseph, he was born to save his generation as a prime minister from hunger. To save his generation, his family, and his generation from hunger. What were you also born for? For Daniel, he was born to bring the children of Israel from Babylon. He was born to intercede and to bring them out, to prophesy them out of Babylon. What were you born for? Jesus was born with one assignment, to die on the cross for the salvation of humanity. What were you born for? Ask somebody by you, what were you born for? If you are already 25 years and you still don't know your assignment, it's a tragedy. I said it's a... So ask him, what were you born for? What is your assignment? Because I knew my assignment as a teenager. I was very sure of my assignment. What is your own assignment? You cannot cross 30 without knowing your assignment. It's too late. In fact, if you even cross 25, you don't know your assignment, you're already late. Because by the time you're a teenager, you should know your assignment. So that you know what you are doing in school. You know what you are studying in tertiary. You should know what you are practicing. You know what you are entering into. Because by the time you are 21, you should be in your preparation for your assignment, my dear. It's not now that you are thinking that what do I do? If you are still thinking, what do I do at age 25, you are already too late. Oh. You are already too late. If as of now, you don't know whether you are reading economics or you are reading... Oh. you are already 25. You don't know. So you are now coming to start. Then you comfort yourself that life begins at... Go and ask those who are reigning in life whether their life began at 40. The meaning of that, do you know the meaning of that statement? The meaning of that statement is that chilling, rest in life begins at 40. That's what they mean. Go and ask them. That means that at 40 years, you should be at the peak. You should now be soaring. It's like it's not now that your plane is trying to lift. You should be in the air already. By the time you are 40, you should be soaring. It's not now that you are going to school. It's not now that you are building your business. No, no, no. Real life, not hustling. Real life begins at 40. So by the time I'm 40 years, the ministry should be soaring. Otherwise, I failed. I'm permitted to hustle from my 20s, but by 40. Because for a lot of people, 40 is your midpoint. 40 is your midpoint. You are likely to die before next 40 years. For a lot of people. A lot of people will die from 60 to 70. How many of you will die from 60 to 70? Only few people will see 80 years. Only few people. And only a handful will see 90. Like that one is like 1 out of 100 will see 90. So a lot of us gathered here, we will be buried either 60 or 65. Unless we are part of the how many? I know why you talk about this, the people don't like to hear it, but the funerals you have been attending should advise you. So real life, you by the time you are 40 years, like you have already reached your midpoint. So it's like you have done all your dirty work. Now you have to now settle in your profession. You have to now mature in your, yeah. You are now bearing fruits. That's the meaning of life begins at 40. So like at 40 years, you are now going to look for what to do. That one you have failed. Amen. That's why you don't start making babies when you are 40 years. When you are 40 years, you are now making babies because you married at 34, 35, 37, 39. You're already late. You should have married in your 20s. Bible calls your wife. Bible says that I have witnessed in the covenant of in the covenant you have with the wife of your youth. So God recognizes marriage as what? A youthful thing. It must happen in the hour of youth, not when we have white hair, gray hair. So I pray for everybody that you'll be fortunate enough to marry in your 20s. You didn't hear me. I say, may you be fortunate enough. Poverty and African lifestyle makes men marry around 40. But that is not how it's supposed to be. Hallelujah. Amen. So to fulfill your destiny assignment, Luke 1, 35 and then 41. Are you there? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is born will be called the Son of God. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit will overshadow you, and the power of the highest shall come upon you. Mary asks, how can this thing be? Because Mary's destiny was to give us a Messiah. And Mary asked the angel, how can this be? And the angel said, the Holy Spirit shall empower you. So when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he helps you to give birth to destiny. May you give birth to destiny. You didn't hear me. May you give birth to destiny. Whatever God has hidden in your spirit, whatever God has hidden in your heart, whatever is a vision that God has for you, whatever is a purpose for your life and your destiny, may the Holy Spirit cause you to walk in it. Amen. By the power of the Holy Spirit. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greetings of Mary that the baby lived in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Check the cable over there for me. It keeps going and coming. Amen. So Elizabeth brought forth John the Baptist by the Spirit. Bezaleel and Aholiab were empowered to fulfill their desires. Exodus 35, verse 30 to 35. Bezaleel and Aholiab, they were designers, they were artisans, they were woodworkers and blacksmiths and goldsmiths. They were into fashion. The Aholiab and the Bezaleel, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord filled them so that they can do their work very well. And Moses said to the children of Israel, see, the Lord has called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, to do what? And he has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and understanding, in knowledge and all manner of workmanship. He has empowered him to do craft work. It's not everybody who sits in an office with a tie, what we call white collar job. No, it's not everybody. Some are called to do artisan work, artisanship. Some are called to do ministry. Some are called to go into fashion. Some are called to do beauty work or to be a beautician. Everybody is called for something. And whatever you are born to achieve, may you be empowered to achieve it in Jesus' name. I said, may you be empowered to achieve it in Jesus' name. And what happened? Verse 32, let's be quick. To design artistic works, to work in gold and in silver and in bronze. Go on. In cutting jewels for settling, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of artistic workmanship. Hallelujah. So you realize that these people were able to be creative. Their source of creativity was spiritual, not physical. Their creativity, which they did their work, was influenced by the Spirit. whatever you do as your profession, may the spirit dimension influence you. I said, may the spirit dimension influence you so that you'll be good at your work, so that you'll be exceptional in your work. Clap your two hands together. Clap your two hands together. Clap your two hands together. Hallelujah. Shakaparakataj. Number four, to cast out devils and enforce the will of God on earth. To cast out devils. Why do God give us power? Why are we empowered? We are empowered to cast out, to put the devil where he belongs. To put the devil where he belongs. Tell somebody, you've got to put the devil where he belongs. Come on, somebody's not saying it. Tell him, you have to put the devil in check. He will trouble your life. And that is why you need power. You need power so that your enemies, Bible says that by your power, your enemies are subjected unto you. So your enemies will not be subjected to you if you don't have power. Demons will not be subjected to you if you don't have power. Witches and wizards will not be subjected to you if you don't have power. Are you getting what I'm saying? By the power, by your power, your enemies are subjected unto you. So we cast out devils by the Spirit of God. Luke 10 verse 19. Luke 10 verse 19. Everybody check it out. Luke 10 verse 19. It said, I give you power to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing by any means will hurt you. I give unto you power. Say, I receive power. Say, I receive authority. Oh, come on. Are you here? Say, I receive power. Say, I receive authority to trample upon serpents and upon scorpions and upon all the powers of darkness in my family, in my house, in my neighborhood. Say, I receive power to trample upon them in the name of Jesus. Say, I receive power to put the enemy in check. Say, I receive power to put my enemy in check in the name of Jesus. Every demon troubling my life, troubling my destiny, troubling my health, I put you in check. I put you in check. To me, boni biara, oni mi tusa, oni mi DSA. By the power of the Holy Ghost, I put you in check. In the name of Jesus. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. I give unto you that power. And they got that power on the day of Pentecost. Jesus told them, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Matthew 10 verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples. Matthew 10 verse 1. When he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power. He gave them power. He gave them power. Before God asks you to go, he first gives you power. He gave them power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. I give you power to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions and upon all the powers of the enemy. Bible says that he called them and he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out. So we can cast out evil spirits from people, from our children, from people, from our family members. We can cast out demons from our own lives, from our jobs. Demons that have hijacked our ministries, our destinies. We can cast them out by the power of the Holy Spirit. May every demon harassing your destiny check out in Jesus' name. Your amen can be a louder one. May they check out in Jesus' name. May they check out in Jesus' name. May they check out in Jesus' name. Clap your two hands together. Come on, do it better. 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 And rise up to your feet. There is power in your name.
Beloved, thank you for listening to this message by Reverend Prince Lai. If you have been blessed by this message and have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, kindly say this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died that I may live. Please forgive me and wash me with your blood. I believe I am a child of God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you have said this prayer, know that your sins have been forgiven and you are now a new creation. We invite you to worship with us on Sundays at Odoko, adjacent Best Point Savings and Loan, Odoko Market. For more information, please call 0543-248-982 or 0241-372-895. God richly bless you.